Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
Are you ready to triumph over the challenges in your life? Are you ready to create the life you desire? Radio host Sue London overcame illness, abuse, disease, divorce, and near death. As a spiritual life coach, Reiki master, motivational speaker, and author, Sue's goal is to help millions of people cope, heal, and move forward. Get inspired. Create the life you desire with internationally known radio host Sue London. Host Sue London and her weekly guest will bring you tools, techniques, products, and services that will help you get inspired to create the life you desire. Now, here's your host, Sue London.
I'm Sue London, and you're listening to Get Inspired Radio on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour and let us inspire you and help you create the life that you desire. Now, you can connect with me after the show through my personal website, AskSueLondon.com. And when you're at the website, I want to invite you to sign up for my free newsletter. Because when you sign up for that newsletter, folks, I'm going to send you 10 weekly inspiring videos that are filled with tools and techniques to help you create that life that you desire. And just so you know, those tools that I'm sharing with you in those videos are the same tools that I used in my personal life to overcome and heal Crohn's disease, abuse. I was given 30 minutes to live in my life, had a near-death experience. Then I went on to soar above it all after a challenging divorce. So sign up for that newsletter and those videos can start helping you. Again, the website is AskSueLondon.com. And then when you're at the website, I want to invite you to check out my books. I have two great books in the children's series called Rocky's Journey, and they are based on my personal experience with my dog, Rocky, helping me to heal through the healing power of pet therapy, and they're books to help kids. They've been helping kids all around the world, so check them out for your child. And for more empowerment for yourself, check out my life story book, Soar Above It All. That's overcoming adversities in life. That will really help you to move forward for yourself, your children, your loved ones. Again, the website is AskSueLondon.com. Now, I cannot get this out fast enough to get our guest on the show today because I am so excited. Because, folks, today we have a very special show for you. It is Bob Barker Day here on Get Inspired Radio, and we are extremely honored to have the very special 19 Emmy Awards winner. He's also known as the host of The Price is Right TV game show, and a very, very special man who's so dear to my heart as well as many because of the work he's doing helping animals all around the world. And today we're going to talk about Bob's journey and all that great work he's doing, and he's going to encourage you to do something to help these animals too. So before we get started, Chris, let me ask you, what was your favorite moment on The Price is Right? I know you're a huge fan of Bob's.
Well, if I had to sum it all up, I know we only have an hour show. I really appreciated the consistency of the show as a child. It was familiar to me. And growing up, I always counted on it. It was like that relative that was always there. Knowing Bob was there for me every day, I felt as though I knew Bob over the years. And it led to my music director, Brian Sullivan, and I to take a trip out there in 2000. And I'm sure Bob doesn't remember, but we were in the audience and we asked him some questions during the commercial breaks. And I have to say, off camera as well as on camera, Bob is extremely personable.
He's a very, very nice man. I know I cannot talk so highly about him myself. He's just, you know, the real thing. That's what I love about him. He's absolutely the real thing. And you used to skip school, didn't you?
Yes,
we were telling Bob before we started, you used to skip school, my friend.
I absolutely did, and I was not really sick. If my parents are listening, I'm sorry that I deceived you, but yes, Bob was my reason for skipping school. However, he did make me feel even better than I already did.
Really? Really? That's, well, you know what? I love watching The Price is Right because poor Bob, you never knew what the contestants were going to do to him next. Like, they'd come up on stage and some of them were so crazy with excitement to be up on that stage. I don't know how he went through it, but we're going to have to, you know, we'll bring him on and we'll ask him those questions because it was funny watching some of the contestants. And that's what I always loved, you know, wondering what was going to happen next on the show. But Chris, I know that you have put together a very special introduction in honor of our special guest, Bob Barker. So can I get you to play that now? And then let's get Bob on the show and start talking to him. And sound good?
Sounds good. Here we go.
Okay.
For 50 years, he has entertained America on television. Broadcast pioneer Ralph Edwards heard him on the radio and thought that he would be the perfect host for his audience participation show. He was then asked to host Truth or Consequences. Game show creator Mark Goodson discovered his talent and asked him to host the 1972 version of The Price is Right. He would host Price for 35 years until his retirement in 2007.
And now, here's the star of The Price is Right, Bob Barker.
Thank you very much. Welcome to The Price is Right.
During his career, the love of his life, the late Dorothy Jo, inspired him to develop a passion for animal rights.
Please remember, help control the pet population. Have your pets spayed or neutered.
And now, a man who's celebrating his 50th year in television, Bob Barker!
Oh, that was a tremendous introduction. But you know, I hate, in a way, to start talking because you two are saying such wonderful things about me that I don't want to interrupt you.
Well, Bob, honestly, it is all true, my friend. You truly are a very special man. And you know, that's, Chris and I have had a countdown for how long now, Chris, you know, waiting for this show to happen so we could personally tell Bob a thank you from the bottom of our hearts, right?
It's quite a while, and I'll take 10 seconds with this, but Sue had asked me if I could get any guest on the radio, you know, who would you like me to get? And I jokingly said, you know, with some hope in the joking statement, Bob Barker, because that would be the top of the heap for me, was my exact words. Mm-hmm. And Sue called me back a couple of days later, and like Sue, I have a passion for animals, and over the years that has grown, and sure enough, a couple of days later, Sue told me, we've got Bob Barker.
Well, Sue is obviously a lady who can deliver.
I'm a mover and shaker, my friends call me.
Now, you apparently you are just exactly that.
I well, you know what? You have got such a message about animals. And, you know, I'm sitting here teary-eyed and just so grateful that we could bring you on today to share what you're doing for animals, because if more people were like you to do what you're doing, our world would be a better place and help so many more animals that we lose. And in a senseless way. So I'm really grateful to you, my friend. Before we start, I want to encourage everyone, call in and ask your questions today. Bob is here. He's a fantastic guy, and we're really proud to and honored to share him with you today. So folks, you can call in and you can ask Bob your questions. So the number you call is 1-800-930-2819. And you can also ask your questions through the instant feedback area on the homepage on transformationtalkradio.com website. So Bob, let's start, because everybody wants to know about, you know, you as the host of The Price is Right. Let's go back to the beginning of your career. How did that all start? Was that your first time on TV? Did you have TV experience before you started your show?
Well, I certainly had television experience before I started Price is Right. Mm-hmm. But Chris, really has all the facts in that introduction. My first national show was Truth or Consequences, which was the most popular radio show in the United States in the 40s. It was originated by Ralph Edwards, who would probably be better known to your listeners by the fact that he was the host of This Is Your Life. But Ralph owned Truth or Consequences, and he had sold it as a daytime show on NBC. And he was looking for a host, and I was doing an audience participation show here in Hollywood on the local CBS station. It was called The Bob Barker Show. I named it myself. And I was lucky enough, fortunate enough, and I thank the good Lord for the fact that Ralph Edwards, while driving, turned on my radio show. And he liked my work. He called me. I came in and had about 3 or 4 days of auditions. And on December 21st, 1956, at 5 minutes past 12 noon, Ralph Edwards called me and told me that I was to be the host of Truth or Consequences. And that was the most important telephone call of my life, professionally. Mm-hmm. It changed my whole life, all the wonderful things that have happened to me over the last many, many years began with that telephone call. And Ralph and I went on to become great friends, and every December 21st after that, we would have lunch, and at 5 minutes past 12, we'd drink a toast to our long, enduring friendship. He was a true gentleman, a great talent. He could write, he produced, and he was a splendid host, and may the good Lord bless him.
Yeah, and, you know, it is amazing with radio, being a radio host myself, I see a lot of opportunities come to me as well. It's amazing when you're in that right place at the right time, it just unfolds for you. And TV certainly has been your real gift to so many.
Well, I've had a lot of young men write me or ask me, what advice I would have for them if they wanted to do what I did in television. And the advice that I give them would be good advice for you no matter what you do, I think. Mm-hmm. And that is that when whatever you do, do it to the very best of your ability. Mm-hmm. Because you never know who will see it or read about it or hear it. And it can change everything for you. That day that Ralph turned on my radio show, I wasn't doing an audition. I was just doing my show.
Yeah.
And if I hadn't been at the top of my game that day, I probably would never have had the call from Ralph Edwards. And that's my advice to anyone, particularly brain surgery. Always do the very best you can.
We hope so, right?
Right.
Very, very good advice taken. I know with myself, when I started being in the public eye, I worked with somebody, and they said to me, even when you go out for dinner, you don't know who's going to recognize you.
That's right.
I used to say to my kids, please behave. Don't have a fight at the table or, you know, don't do anything that you shouldn't do. And they used to kind of tease me saying, oh, we're going to have a food fight. Now, my kids would never do something like that, but they would say that just to like stress me out. And I used to go in and we'd go in a coffee shop, my husband and I. And I, you know, go in my blue jeans, a ball cap and that. And people would come up to me and ask for my autograph. And I thought, are you kidding me? You know me? You know? So it's true. You have to, wherever you are, you always have to be at your best because you just never know who will recognize you, right? Or, you know.
Well, that's true. I was thinking actually the performance of your job. But you're true. That's true. If you're recognizable, you'll be recognized.
Yeah.
And today, it's even more true than it once was. So it's good to behave yourself in public. There's no doubt about that. No matter whether you're recognized or not, it's pretty good to be a lady or a gentleman in public.
Absolutely. But let me ask you, like, can you get in your car and just go to the grocery store, or do you have to have somebody do that for you?
Oh, no, my housekeeper, I have a wonderful housekeeper. Actually, she's a house manager. She makes the grocery list. She goes and does the shopping. She takes care of everything like that. But I go to the grocery store sometimes for something, or I go out in public frequently, I am recognized. But I did the type of show that people... they don't react to me the way they would a rock star. They act to me as if they were a neighbor. They were friends because I've done such sort of relaxed, intimate type shows that they feel they know me, and they do. When you've done the type of show that I do for 50 years, viewers probably know me better than many of the people with whom I do business or even friends. Television it really reveals the person, I think.
Yeah, for sure it does. Now, we have somebody who sent a question here. Can I share this question with you for you to answer? It came.
Lay it on me.
Okay, well, this is from Jay Lynn. Thank you, Jay Lynn, from Oshawa, Rhode Island. And she says, first of all, I commend Bob for all of his work with animals. I'm a serious animal lover, Bob. For my question, what was Bob's favorite moment on The Price is Right? I'm an avid listener of your show on WBLQ. Jay Lynn, thank you for your question, and thank you for being a listener. So, Bob, do you want to take it from there? And what was your favorite moment?
Well, it's not necessarily my favorite moment, but it's the most memorable moment on The Price is Right. It was something that happened early on in the show. The show was on 35 years. I would say it probably happened within the first 5 years or so, and no one ever forgot it. And when I was talking with the audience, as Chris said I did, when I was talking with the audience during commercials, people would say, Bob, what's the most funniest thing or what's the most memorable thing that ever happened on this show? Before I could say anything, someone would shout out what I should say. And this is what happened. There was a lady, a young lady, in the audience in a tube top.
Oh, I remember that. I saw it. Yes.
You remember? Did you see that? Yeah, well, they showed the clip on a lot of shows. Her name was called to be on the show. She jumped to her feet, and she began jumping up and down, and both of them came out of the tube top. She came on down, and they came on out on CBS. and no one ever forgot it.
And you couldn't edit that because it was live, wasn't it?
Well, we didn't edit it. We played it just as it happened, but we supered a banner across her breast, so you didn't actually see them. But you knew full well what had happened. And the really hilarious thing was that she didn't know they were out.
No, and the expression on your face.
She didn't do anything about it until she got up to contestant's row. And then a lady in the front row reached up and touched her and said, look, look, look. And the lady dropped with her breasts out. She fell down or didn't fall, but she got down real low so you couldn't see her. And made an arrangement and then we went on.
Well, and
an adventure.
Yeah, well, how would you cover that? Like, you know, because I remember your face.
I wasn't going to try to cover it. She had to cover it herself.
I do remember that, and I wondered if you remember that. So that's really good. Jay Lynn, thank you for asking that question. You brought many memories back to all of us with that. Yeah, because that's what I wanted to ask you. Was there any specific memories of situations that happened with the contestants? And that's the one that stood out in my mind. But
that's the one. You'd ask that same question of people who watched the show year after year, they'd all probably choose that.
And you were really very, I don't know what's the word I want to say. You were very good at how everyone came running up on the stage and they hugged you and carried you and jumped up and down, lifting you. Did you get tired of that after a while?
I didn't get tired of it, but I got hurt a lot.
Did you?
I had women would come up the stairs just as fast as they could and never straighten up, and just one of them butted me right in the abdomen.
Oh, no.
They'd stand beside me, and they'd say, oh, I'm so nervous, and pinch me on the arm.
Oh,
just little pinches. Of course, they hit me. A lot of them hit me. Mm-hmm. And they would, one jumped, I had a broken toe, too. I had a broken toe, and she jumped up and down and jumped on my toe. Oh, great pain. And I think the worst thing that ever happened to me. One about five, six, or seven got under my chin and jumped up and down. And my teeth were rattling, and I practically fled to my dressing room.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I didn't
It was
know.
A dangerous show. People have no idea how dangerous that show was.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Bob, I've got another question here from Heather. Heather, thank you for your question. Bob, here's the question. Did Bob ever not want to, or you didn't want the contestants to kiss you?
Well, I didn't want them to particularly because I didn't want to catch colds or anything else.
Yeah.
But I certainly didn't want to kiss them to kiss me on the lips. I'd always turn my cheek.
Yeah.
And some of them would come up and grab me and say, I'm going to kiss you on the lips. And I'd say, no, you're not.
I seem to remember there was one lady that was actually chasing you around to kiss you, was there?
Oh, yes. I was chased all over the stage. One time I had to run right straight to my dressing room and lock myself in.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
That is so priceless. It's just amazing what you would go through. Now, did you have to do a rehearsal before every show?
No.
So they were all live?
I didn't even go to rehearsal. They had a rehearsal, but the rehearsal was just shooting, lining up the shots for the prizes. And all the cameramen on the show knew the games. They didn't have to go through the games, but they wanted to get good shots of the prizes and the showcases. The showcases changed every day, and they would rehearse those. They actually had a rather short rehearsal for an hour show.
Did they?
It was a smooth operation. We had a staff that had been together for years. We had cameramen who had been on the show for years. Director who'd been with us for years, and we never edited. I did it just as if it were a live show. We started on time, I brought it out on time, and there was no editing unless there was some technical problem of some sort.
Wow. Now, Chris, I think
that's why I've had such a great feel, such a live feel. We left things in that other people would have edited out. We didn't change the show. What you saw was exactly what happened there. We had one time there was a model.
Okay.
We used to, when we were showing a car sometimes, several members of the crew would get by. It was the car was off stage. They'd get behind it, and on cue, they would shove the car out on stage so it would come rolling out. And this model was at the wheel, and she was smiling out at the audience and ran right into the set. Yes, and we left it in. People loved it.
Well, you know, it shows that you're human, you know, like it
that's right.
Exactly.
And on Truth or Consequences, of course, when I first started doing Truth or Consequences, there was no taping then. We everything we did was live.
Wow.
And things would go wrong, and frequently what went wrong was a lot funnier than what we had planned.
Yeah, you can't plan something like a blooper like that, can you?
No, you can't.
We have got some people on the phone line now that want to talk to you. Fine. Okay, we're going to take a question from Cheyenne from Westerly, Rhode Island. Cheyenne, are you there?
I'm there. Hello, how are you both?
Hi, Cheyenne. Thanks for coming on the show. Hi. And you have a question for Bob?
I do. I'm so excited, so excuse me if I'm nervous. But I was just wondering, I've always had pets growing up in my family, and I was wondering if you've had a lot of pets at your home as well.
Oh, I've had as many as four or five dogs at one time, and I had three dogs at one time and two cats and a house full of animals almost all of the time. I don't right now, though. I have one wonderful animal. I have a rabbit. His name is Mr. Rabbit. And I had Mr. Rabbit and his Honey Bunny, but Honey Bunny unfortunately went the way of all things, and Mr. Rabbit's here alone now. But at the same time, I had a wonderful dog named Jesse, and Jesse died of cancer. And when Jesse was here, I couldn't have Mr. Rabbit out, but we had a big room where he and his honey bunny just lived the life of luxury. My housekeeper had built a burrow for them and all sorts of things to amuse them. And then, as I said, Honey Bunny died. Well, Jesse died reasonably soon after that, and I had only Mr. Rabbit. So I opened the whole second floor, and we put plastic over all the wires. Took days, of course, but my housekeeper and I got it done. And now Mr. Rabbit runs around the house. He's all over the house. And he follows me like a dog. He's right, he's about 15 feet from me right now listening to all this, and he approves. But he follows me all over the house and helps me all he can. And I can't get another dog or a cat until Mr. Rabbit is gone, and he's going to be 9 in July, which is old for a rabbit, but he's a bundle of energy and healthy, and I'm doing all I can to keep him that way.
Well, that's great. It's always nice to know that people who are representatives for animals are also have them in their personal lives as well.
Oh, yes. I can't remember. Years and years ago, I went to Minneapolis to do Truth or Consequences for a week. And Dorothy Jo wanted to surprise me when I got home, and she bought a wonderful little basset hound for me. And that's the only dog I can remember ever either or the other of us buying. We collected dogs. They would wander in, and we had a house full of strays all the time, and we never even had to go to a shelter. Of course, that's the place to get a dog. But we didn't have to go to a shelter to get one. They came to us. And we had dogs of every description. And what a pleasure. You know, I feel sorry for the people who don't enjoy animals. I really do. They miss so much of life.
Yeah.
My animals have brought me so much joy and happiness. It's just, I'm grateful for them.
Yeah, and you know, Bob,
I agree.
Saying that, Bob, I met a lady I guess it was earlier this week, and she was saying how she has a child, an only child, and the child was having some problems in that. And I said, the best medicine, get a pet for your child. Go to your local shelter, adopt a pet for them. And she said, well, what would I do with it? And I said, have you ever had a pet before? She says, no, I wouldn't know what to do with it. I spent the rest of my meeting with that lady making it my mission for her to go to a shelter and learn more. I just can't fathom not having a house with pets in my house.
I can't either.
The
earliest pictures that my mother had of me, I had a dog. I could hardly stand up, and I was there standing up there with the dog.
Yeah.
And Mom loved animals as well, and of course we had them, and then Dorothy Jo loved animals, and we had them. And as I said, I consider myself very fortunate to have had the wonderful animals that I've had. And of course, all animals are wonderful. Just give them a chance.
Exactly. Now, Cheyenne, did you have any more questions that you wanted to ask Bob before?
I didn't, but thank you both very much for the opportunity to talk to both of you, and I'll be listening today and every other day that you're on WBLQ, and I love your show.
Thank you. You're very welcome, and thanks for coming on.
Bye-bye, Cheyenne. Yeah.
Now, Bob, you were saying about Mr. Rabbit by himself. Did he go through depression when you lost your his friends?
Does he what?
Did he get depressed? Like, I know just
oh,
recently.
Oh, no, not when Honey Bunny, I'm sure he missed her, but he didn't go into a depression or anything, but I tried to be with him as much as I could and have him with me as much as I could after she was gone. And now, as I say, it's just become since Jesse's gone, he has the whole second floor of the house. He doesn't go downstairs, which I'm glad. If he ever got away, I'd never be able to get him because he'd go bounding off, and that'd be it. Yeah. But he's a great friend. He really is, and I'm lucky to have him.
Well, we had just a couple weeks ago, actually, now, we lost one of our dogs. And we had two Shih Tzus and a Shih Tzu. And we lost one of our Shih Tzus to cancer. And her friend of 10 years, he stopped eating. He was grieving, mourning like you wouldn't believe. And it was our two-year-old puppy, the Gus, that kind of worked with him. But I took time off work just to spend time with them, that they do feel. You know, when they lose their friends.
Oh, absolutely, they feel that. Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's...
Anyone who doesn't think that animals have emotion and love, and they are wonderful. They're just...
Yeah.
They have so many sensory...
They just sense our needs.
On such a higher level than we are that it's amazing.
Well, and Bob, you wouldn't know my story. Many of you listeners know it. Bob, I went through a time in my life when I went through Crohn's disease. I was pretty sick. And
well, I can imagine.
When I spent a lot of time in and out of hospitals. And when I was pregnant with my second daughter, my weight just went down to 80 pounds. And the doctor said to me, either I would live or the baby. They wanted me to make a choice who. And I made the choice. I fired my doctor because I believe, you know, I was pregnant for a reason.
Good for you.
You know, and I was going to deliver this baby. And that's all there was. It was going to, we were going to both be healthy and live. And she turned out to be a beautiful baby. But what happened, my new doctor, he prescribed my dog, my little Shih Tzu Rocky, to come down to the hospital. And that dog sensed exactly what I needed. And I was in the hospital for 5 months. The dog comes down. The dog worked his miracle magic, you know, doing pet therapy. And I went home 2 days later and delivered a beautiful, healthy baby. And I give my animals full credit of me going on and healing that Crohn's disease. And I went through abuse with my ex-husband and divorce and that. It was my dogs that saved my life. So I know, you know, the animals are really respected in our house, and I like to encourage that. So, folks, anyone listening, you heard my story, what I went through. You're hearing Bob talk about animals. If you don't have a pet in your house, I really encourage you to go out and get one. Now, Bob,
That's well said.
And now, where do you tell people to go? I always say go to the local animal shelter because that's...
Oh, absolutely. Don't go to a breeder. No. Go to an animal shelter.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's the only place to get a dog.
Yeah. And, you know, every one of my animals, we thought we were saving them. They went on and they saved us. And we went on to do pet therapy with our dogs, taking them into nursing homes and to local children's hospitals. And I just have so many stories. Gosh, Bob, we could do a whole other show just on that, what animals could do. But, you know, if you're listening, folks, please go to your local shelter. Get a pet because there's one waiting for you, and it's all about saving a life. That's what it's all about today.
There's only one fault with dogs. They don't live long enough.
I know.
It's so heartbreaking to have one for 10 or 12 years and then have him or her gone. And that's the only thing wrong with them. I wish they'd live as long as we do.
That's what I said to my husband. I said that, you know, some of my pets, or all of my pets, have been like my best friend. I grew up as an only child, and my dog was like my sister. I'd share everything with her. And people would say, are you nuts? But like, she was my first dog. I got her when I was 2, and her name was Spot, because she had a little spot on her butt, you know? But can we take another call, Bob?
Sure.
Okay, Heidi from Westerly. Chris, can you bring Heidi on?
You're on, Heidi.
Hello, Bob. This is Heidi. I've been with...
Hi, Heidi. It's a pleasure to talk with you.
Me too. I've listened to your show. I was heartbroken when you left. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I've been with WBLQ for 13 and a half years, and I used to do Heidi's Pet Talk, all on pets, and now I'm back to pet tips on up the animals. I go on every single day, and I'm right after the 8 o'clock news. I fight for the animals. They are my life.
Well, good for you, and I'll tell you, you will never find better friends or more supportive friends than your animals.
You're correct. And I just got to tell you, I was very sick. I got MRSA, and I almost died. I was in the hospital for 3.5 years. I was on death row. They told me I would not make it, but my cat came to visit me at the nursing home and in the hospital, and that cat brought me back to life.
Well, that's wonderful.
And his name is Mr. Simba.
His name is what?
Mr. Simba. S-I-M-B-A.
Good for him.
He's the one that brought me back to life. I was gone. The doctors gave me no chance of survival.
Well, they work miracles. There's no doubt about it.
They certainly do. It's so great to hear your voice.
Well, thank you so much for calling in and talking to Bob.
Yes, I really appreciated that.
Great. Bye-bye, well, thank Heidi. You for sharing. Bye-bye. Bob, you ready to take another question?
Sure, go ahead.
I'm going to keep you busy today.
That's fine.
Laura, do we have Laura on the call now?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, Laura. Hi, Laura. Welcome to Get Inspired Radio. You have a question for Bob?
Hi, thank you. Well, first I want to say I have all of my dogs except for one have been rescue dogs. I have two right now. One came from Louisiana after the hurricane, and the other one came from a local dog pound, and they're the best dogs. They really are. The only one that wasn't a rescue dog was a friend of mine's dog had puppies, and I heartily recommend getting the dogs from the pound over purchasing them or getting them from a breeder. But, Bob, it's really, I'm excited to talk to you. I can't believe you're on the local radio. love your show. Loved your show, rather. And my question to you is, my husband and I went to see your show live about 10 years ago, and I was sitting in the third row back, and I had on a red shirt. Do you remember me?
Sure, absolutely. How could I forget
Good
you
answer.
And your red shirt?
Yeah, it was so exciting to
I thought you were pretty cute then, and you sound pretty cute now.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you're not bad yourself.
I'm getting better all the time. You ought to see me now.
I bet you are. I bet you are. You sound great. You sound wonderful.
The tour buses go by my house all the time, and sometimes I'm out there, and when I talk with them, I always tell them when they go home, tell everybody that I look better in person than I did on television.
Yeah.
So if you hear that, I started that rumor myself.
It's true. I bet it's true, though. I bet it's true. But
absolutely.
Anyway, it's very
yes.
it's
particularly
really
the
nice
swimsuit.
To talk to you.
Well, thank you.
I think there's a delay or something, and I'm kind of talking over you guys, but I just want to say thank you so much for talking to me. Really happy to talk with you, and you're going strong, and we love you.
Well, I thank you so much, and I wish you well.
Thanks for your call. Chris, are you there? You have a question you want to ask Bob?
Well, I guess my question is, I know that you make some appearances on, some of the talk shows. I saw you on Craig Kilborn about a year ago and thought you, and this is my personal opinion, you're the best guest he's ever had on, and you make me laugh whenever you're on his show. I know you're busy, working with animals now, but are you intending on doing any more television appearances, any upcoming talk shows on television in the near future?
No, I don't have anything scheduled. I don't have any desire to start doing a show again regularly. I've had a couple of offers, but I've no interest in doing that. I'm a complete success at retirement. I really am. I think I retired at just the right time, not too soon, not too late. And also, I think it's important when you retire that you have things that you're interested in that keep you busy to a certain extent. And certainly I do with animals. I get great satisfaction out of working on behalf of animals, and I'm doing more and more of it all the time. I always did. I had my own foundation, and even before I retired. But I have more time now to do it, and I am doing more of it. and enjoying every moment and getting great satisfaction from it. And I think that's the reason that I am a complete success at retirement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you certainly sound like you enjoy life, my friend. And that's a
I
good
do.
Way to be. That's a good
I
way
do.
To be. Yeah.
I do enjoy it. I do enjoy it. And I encourage anyone who is even considering retirement to give it some thought and try to be productive. Now, you don't have to be productive. You may love to collect stamps, for example. Fine. Mm-hmm. Or do anything else that is fun and entertaining. But I really enjoy working on behalf of animals. And as I said, it gives me satisfaction in that these poor creatures deserve our help. And if we can help to make this a better world for animals, why, we have, I think, done something that is very important.
You know, that's well said. Now, talking about that, Bob, there's a lot of things happening to animals that people aren't aware of. Can we talk about, like, switch to talking about some of these other animals you're helping? We talked about the dogs and that, but you now have a Bob Barker chimpanzee habitat. This is
right.
Something new. Do you want to tell everybody what's happening with that?
Well, it's Chimp Haven.
Okay.
It's down near, it's in a suburb of Shreveport, Louisiana. And they have around 170 chimpanzees there.
Okay.
But there were five chimpanzees, and most of them have been in research, so we all know what that means. They've suffered in ghastly experiments over a period of years.
Mm-hmm.
But there were five chimps that had been used in HIV research, and they'd been given HIV. And so there are several chimpanzee sanctuaries in the United States, but none of them would accept these chimps with HIV. But Chimp Haven said they would if they had the facility, but they said they'd have to build a facility. They couldn't put them in with the others. So I gave them the money to build the facility.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were ready for the chimps to go into the facility, they invited me to come down for the ribbon cutting. And it was one of the most touching things that I have ever participated in.
Mm-hmm.
We were one of the chimps can't swim, so one of the ways they keep them in this particular habitat is that it's right on the little river.
Okay.
And so we were all on the side of the river from the habitat, and they released the five chimps, and they came into the habitat for the first time. And the habitat is just absolutely what nature intended. It's there are the trees, there are the bushes, there's the soil and grass and so on, just as it had always been.
Mm-hmm.
And into this area came these chimps, and they were, I almost cried. I had such a lump in my throat. They were running. One of them was just running on its hind legs. And one went right up a tree, and they were just so happy. They were jumping up and down and squealing, and it was just marvelous. And now they're going to be living there, all five of them together, and be living in the most natural habitat that could possibly be provided for them.
And it was all because that you built that habitat for them.
Well, it's, they couldn't take them without the habitat. And,
that's why I want to point out that, you know, you are such an incredible man. I mean, as you're sharing this, I've got tears in my eyes because I'm so grateful and touched for what you've done there. And that's a special person that would do that.
Thank you for that. I'm happy to be able to do it. I've been helping animals of every description for years now. I've been doing a lot of work on behalf of elephants, lions.
Let's talk about the elephants.
Because
maybe we can get some help with that.
I've been helping get elephants out of zoos where they are not properly provided for, where they're in an area that's too small or it's too cold or what have you, and helping to get them into a sanctuary where they can live, if they're going to be in captivity, where they can live in the nearest possible thing to their own natural habitat. We had I'll give you one example, a little elephant named Maggie. She was an adult, but she was not a big elephant. And she got thinner and thinner and thinner. She was at the Alaskan Zoo, and it was too cold for her. She couldn't get outside enough, and she was all alone, and her health was failing. I went up there and saw her, and she was so thin, and she fell twice and couldn't even get up. And we finally got them to release her, and she came down here to Paws Sanctuary in Northern California, and she joined a herd. And this herd of elephants, she, as I said, was small, and they realized that she was not well. And they just treated her as if she were a baby and took care of her. And she has blossomed. She's been there now for a couple of years. And now she goes running around there trumpeting. Aww. And she's like a spoiled brat. She's just wonderful. She's just wonderful.
Now, are you finding, is it only the Toronto Zoo that haven't moved the animals?
No, the Toronto Zoo, they have agreed. The city council voted to send the three elephants there in the Toronto Zoo to Paws Sanctuary as well. And a couple of members of the council came out here, and Councilman Cho described the Paws Sanctuary as elephant paradise, which it is.
Yeah.
But the zoo, which is under the council supposedly is in charge of the zoo, but the zoo has stalled and stalled and continued to stall and is stalling as we speak, and we still don't have the elephants down here as yet. And that's three in Canada. And then there's another one that is suffering probably as much as any elephant in the country.
Okay.
In the United States, I'm thinking of, because up there, there are only four left. But this is little poor Lucy at the Edmonton Zoo.
Okay.
And Lucy is, she has chronic foot disease, and foot infections are the biggest killer of elephants in captivity of all of the things that they have go wrong. And she's all alone, and she's obviously dejected, and she's being cared for by a cat and dog doctor.
Okay.
And everything's wrong there, but from the mayor on down, in fact, I understand that the mayor is principally responsible, they won't even consider letting us place her in a place where she could have a few happy years before she dies.
So, Bob, we've got people listening. What can you say to them? What can they do to help these elephants?
Well, it depends on where you live, of course.
Okay.
If you live in Canada, why, write to the city government of Edmonton and tell them that they are absolutely mistreating this poor elephant. Lucy is her name.
Okay.
The three in Toronto, the city council has done all they can. They voted to send her down here. But as I said, it's just a battle between the zoo board and the city council.
Basically, politics
right down the line. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you can write to the city council there, but then congratulate them and urge them to stick with it and get the three elephants out of there. But they're the people of Edmonton, I think a majority of them want Lucy to go.
Yeah.
But PETA sued the city, tried to, and the judge wouldn't let the suit go ahead. Said that they didn't have status or whatever it is that they say.
Wow.
And but you can write to the zoo and tell them that they are absolutely animal abusers.
And should they add in there that Bob Barker sent them?
If I wish. Bob Barker's not very popular in Edmonton.
That's why I'm smiling as I'm saying that.
But I've been up there fighting with them in Edmonton, and I went up there and fought with them in Toronto. And but I always assure them that I love Canadians and I love Canada, In fact, I truly do. When Price is Right, when I started in 1972, it was a huge hit in Canada, and it was a huge hit all 35 years that I was doing the show. It was it was a big, big hit. And we had Canadians in the audience almost every day.
Yeah.
And groups of Canadians. The last show I taped, there was a group of Canadians. They were wearing white T-shirts, and in red across the front, it said, Bob Barker for Prime Minister.
And you would do
and
it
I
better.
Told them, I said, when I retire, I said, I'm coming up there and become your Prime Minister, and no matter what problems you have, I'll make them worse.
You know, well, I was going to say, I'm a Canadian, as you know, and I would invite you to join us as well as Prime Minister.
Oh, I've joined you a few times up there.
Yeah.
I've been up there working on behalf of these elephants, but we had one success in Alaska, but we haven't had much. We hope to get three out of Canada and then eventually Lucy. But if we don't get Lucy fairly soon, I think she's going to die.
Well, and in Toronto, they had in 1989 or 1984, they had seven elephants, and
four of them died already.
Yeah. So, folks, write a letter, make a call, help us, help Bob and these elephants, you know, get them to the right place. All of you can make a difference. I want to share something really quick, and then we have another caller here. One thing that happened in our own neighborhood, and this is how powerful each one of you listening can make a difference. We had a neighbor, Bob, that didn't like animals. They can't stand any animal of any kind. And there were rabbits that were coming into our backyards. And this one rabbit was eating our neighbor's lettuce. He was beyond ticked. And he set these illegal snares. They were wire with the, oh, it was terrible. And the little babies were getting caught in the snare. And they, as they struggled, the wire pulled tighter and they were dying this slow death. I didn't know about this. And then my daughter came in one day and they were like moving so much, they had gotten under our fence and they were in our backyard when we experienced it. And we right away picked up the phone. We went out to see how we could get them apart to save them. But we called we picked up the phone and called the local animal control board. They came right away. They went to the neighbor's door. They charged them. They got fined $2,000. And they never did it again. And that was just simply me picking up the phone and saying, this is what's happening. I want to ask each one of you listeners listening.
Where was that?
This was in our hometown of Burlington, Ontario, Canada.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm asking all of you listeners, how many have you experienced something happening to an animal that you have not taken action on? And that's where I want to encourage you. Bob wants to encourage you to make the difference, folks. Pick up the phone, write the letters. All of these animals deserve to be here just like we do. Do you want to add to that?
I agree 100%. And these poor animals, they can't speak for themselves, and it's up to us to speak for them.
That exactly right, yeah. Now, we have a question here from Brian. Can we get Brian to come on and ask you that? We're almost out of time, Bob. I can't believe how fast it's going.
Well, I'm enjoying it, and I hope that we have made a few points here that will be important to your listeners about animals. What does Brian have to say?
Yeah, Brian, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you, Bob?
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
How are you?
I'm fine. I hope you are, too.
Yes, I am. I got a question. You made the prices right.
I have an answer. It may not be the right one, but I have one.
You made the prices right a great show. What do you think of the game shows of today?
I think the game shows of today are hopeless. I like the real old classic game shows. These reality shows, I've never watched one, but I think they're the poorest excuse for entertainment that I've ever heard of. And I think television in general is becoming disgusting in many ways. And I'm afraid that it's simply would indicate what society has become. Because, you know, they only put on television shows that people watch. And if people are watching some of these shows, there's something wrong with this generation. And I can hope that they'll get it straightened out.
Okay, thank you, Bob. And I'm saying thank you on behalf of Brian. I just want to say something really quick. Brian is my right-hand man here at the radio station. When I started the station back in the late 90s, Brian has been here with me since the beginning, and I actually took him out to California to see you. And when he does his radio work, I don't want to use the word imitates, because as you always say, people should be themselves, but he really looks up to you, Bob, and he and I really appreciate you being on.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, and I hope what I just said doesn't offend him in any way. But I really am. I'm worried about the United States as a whole, actually, for many reasons. And I think that if we can just sort of stop and just try to be better people and take an interest in the right things and try to make it a good life for everybody, that it will be a big step in the right direction. People seem so selfish now and so dependent and so, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I sound like an old man. Everybody always says, it ain't like it used to be.
You know what,
well,
Bob?
It ain't in the United States, I'll tell you.
And you know what, Bob? I have always said to my kids, like at nighttime, I would tuck them in. Now that my youngest is 19, I'm a grandma now with a 6-year-old grandson. And I always say to my kids, what did you do today to make our world a better place? Or what did you do to help someone? And my kids, you know, I'm glad that I have done that with them, because they'll still to this day, they've moved out on their own, and they will come back and share, this is what I did to help somebody. And, you know, I'm glad you said that, because folks, we're here to make a difference. We are here to all, you know, help each other, save our animals, and each one of you can make a positive difference in our world. And I hope that something Bob and I have said today, you will really, really look at what you can do in our world. Now, Bob, you don't have a website, do you?
No.
You're not
I'm
into
technology. I'm computer illiterate, and I'm going to die that way.
Well, good for you, my friend. I just wanted to get that out, because folks, a lot of times after we bring a guest on, if I don't share a website, then you want to know how to connect with Bob. You can certainly, if there's any questions, I can pass them on to Bob's publicist. Is that okay, Bob?
Sure.
Okay. Is there any final words that you want to share with everyone?
Oh, absolutely. I can't conclude any conversation without saying, help control the pet population. Have your pets spayed or neutered.
There you go, my friend. That's what I was waiting to hear. Well, Bob, it has truly, truly been an honor to interview you and bring you on our show. You are, I cannot say enough, such a very special, caring, giving man. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for everything you're doing, my friend. I truly love you for what you do and who you stand for.
Well, I thank you so much for inviting me to be on your show, and I thank both you and Chris for making it a lovely, lovely experience for me.
Well, thanks for being here, my friend. Guys, I hate to say it, we are having to end our Bob Barker segment here. We're out of time. We've actually gone over, and we kept out all the commercials today for this special show. I do want to thank my special guest, Bob Barker, for being with us. And I want to thank all of you today for tuning in to Get Inspired Radio. Please join me every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern and 2 p.m. Pacific time. Now, next week on Get Inspired Radio, my special guest will be actress and friend Alison Arngrim. You also know her as Nellie Olson from the hit TV show Little House on the Prairie. So, folks, on behalf of my guest, Bob Barker, and myself, Sue London, and my producer, Chris DiPaolo, we want to wish you much love and many blessings. I look forward to inspiring you again real soon. Have a fantastic week, everyone.
You've been listening to Get Inspired with Sue London.
If you've missed any part of this program or would like to find out more about Sue London and how to get inspired, please visit AskSueLondon.com. That's AskSueLondon.com. Tune in to Get Inspired every Thursday on TransformationTalkRadio.com at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern to be inspired by radio host Sue London and her guest to help you create the life you desire.